Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 16 of Slamfire Radio for August.
Third
of 2013.
Sorry, you hesitated like I did. Second too long.
No,
I was all over it.
It took me that long to
like
roll
you
my
pointing at David last week.
Yeah,
it's him. Ask him what he did this week in guns.
Right.
I'm gonna, but maybe not at your speed.
No, I wasn't. I had to roll up my sleeve to look at my watch to see what day it was. I have like, no idea what.
Oh, I know. Pick me.
Yeah, we're on our way home, and Trevor's like, "It's Friday, right?" No, it's Saturday. No, it's Friday. Yeah, I looked him out. No, it's Saturday.
But this
oh,
was,
crap.
This was actually after I already knew it was actually Saturday.
Yeah, because we had talked about it like 40 seconds earlier.
No, like 4 minutes.
Was it 4 minutes?
Well, it was a good 10 minutes.
It was a good minute.
Definitely 15 minutes.
Definitely happened.
Yeah, no, I knew that today was Saturday, and then we're just so tired.
Yeah, it's tiring.
Pointless.
First of all, Owen's not here. He is going to see some fireworks, which is cool. I wish I was with him because that would mean I was
That'd
closer
be awkward.
To home.
He's spending family time and you want to go hang out?
Yeah.
You're like the fourth child or what?
I try to be. I act like it. But he'll be with us next week, hopefully. I'm at Trevor's. We have... second of all, I guess, sorry this episode is late and sorry there was no warning that it was going to be late, but we're at the Nationals.
We're just sorry in general for a lot of stuff.
It's because we're Canadian, mostly.
Mostly because we're metric.
Metric.
We're metrically messed up.
How do you say sorry in metric, anyway? No, don't even start.
I'm
okay.
Seventh, tenth apologetic?
I don't know.
Seven, tenth.
Anyway, so I'm at Trevor's. We've been shooting the 2013 36th annual IPSC Nationals competition all week. It started on Tuesday when Owen, David, and I and a bunch of other people from the Rusty Goose Club went to the range and shot the pre-match on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, and today was the actual match for the real people who are cool.
The real people.
The actual people.
Out of towners and out of provinces and
right.
out of country.
That's right. So we're going to get into talking about that a little bit. But before we do, I think we'll start it off with what we did with guns. And I'm pretty sure that's the Nationals.
There may have been some purchases.
So, Trevor.
Yes, Matthew.
Did you or did you not?
Don't do that right now.
Are you sure?
Oh, man.
Did you or did you not purchase a used 1911?
I did not.
Are you, in fact, growing a long nose right now?
Pinocchio what? No, dude, I did not buy a 1911.
Okay. Care to explain?
You want me to tell the listeners what I bought?
Yes.
I bought...
a used 1911.
Oh, heavens. If it was here right now, I'd pistol whip you with it.
Right, and it would hurt because that thing's heavy.
It's all steel.
I was playing with it today, clicking the trigger and doing the reset, and got a nice trigger.
That's what sold me on it.
Yeah, it is a nice 1911.
It's clearly says...
Tell the people what it is.
It's a...
1911.
It's an STI.
Huh?
Eagle 5.0.
And the whole community who's listening right now just screamed at their speakers, "That's a 1911!"
This is...
a 1911.
It's some kind of Frankenbeast because I shot Ross Lorry's Eagle 5.0.
Which was a...
Eagle 5.0.
Which was a...
That was a... Not, you seriously? Seriously. It was a 1911 in 357 SIG. Tommy Nelson from the Gun Dude's absolute favorite gun.
And I have to do, like, I can jump in here and say
you're going to anyway.
357 SIG is a great caliber.
It is.
That's all I'm going to say about that gun.
Snappiest handgun I've ever fired. Anyway, I almost called it a 1911.
You didn't almost. You did.
Anyway, this
firearm.
This STI is a double stack 40 caliber Ipsig competition gun.
It is
about as close to a 1911 as a Ferrari is to a Hummer.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
1911 being the Hummer and this STI standard division gun being a Ferrari. I mean, this gun is tuned to the eyeballs for the standard division of Ipsig. It is, first of all, the differences between this.
So hold on, say that again, standard division, just so, because yeah, that's some correct. People might be thinking you're going open because you did talk about that, but it is a standard division gun.
Yeah. Yeah, all the plans of building a Glock 34 standard minor gun are out the window. The Glock 17 open gun is out the window. I'm going to maintain standard and just bought a different gun.
I would argue you bought a very good standard division firearm.
Yeah, some people.
Because standard, you can carry cocked and locked.
Yes.
You're absolutely. Double action all the time with your Glock. Now, it doesn't feel like it. I mean, it's safe action or whatever, you know, but you're pulling that trigger and it's pulling the striker back a little bit before it drops it. This is a true single action. And let me tell you, it's a very nice trigger.
If it's 2 pounds, yeah. I don't even think it's 2 pounds.
It's light.
And what's the reset? An eighth of an inch?
Oh, it's insane.
It is crazy. This gun, however, because if you go on Google right now, or if you go to STI's website, STI International's website, and you look up the Eagle 5.0, you're going to see what looks like a classic-looking 1911.
What looks like, or what is?
It's not.
I'm kidding.
It's a double stack, so right off of the bat. Okay, first of all, let me clarify something. When it does come to 1911s, I only consider a 1911 a 1911 if it has a couple of things going for it. One, it looks like John Moses Browning's original A1.
Right.
It's a single stack.
And its caliber is?
It's chambered in .45 ACP.
Yeah.
It holds 7 rounds and 1 in the pipe.
Yeah, the classic.
That's what I consider a true 1911. It's got an internal extractor.
Sure.
Right?
And what you bought today is not one of those.
Right. And what I bought today also looks nothing like the Eagle 5.0 that you will see on STI International's
because
website.
Because that does look a lot like what John Moses Browning designed.
Well, it's similar, but I wouldn't say a lot. But so what I bought, actually, even though it says Eagle 5.0, the slide looks like that off the Executive or off the Edge or off the IPSC model that they make. Also different is it has a full-length dust cover. The original Eagle does not have a full-length dust cover.
Right.
I've shot the Edge, as the listeners know, and I've shot a Tanfoglio Limited Custom, and I've shot my Glock, and I've shot them all on the same day, and I shot best with my Glock, and I said, you know, I cannot outshoot my Glock. I'm not that good of a shooter, and I don't know if I'll ever be good enough to outshoot a Glock. There are a few people in the world that can shoot better than certain guns. In archery, for example, there are certain bows that I could outshoot. I knew I could shoot better than the bow could shoot, right? Only few, like a couple of low-end hunting bows and stuff like that, but still. However, when it comes to my Glock, I don't think switching guns is going to make me a better shooter, and that's not why I bought the gun. I didn't get like, oh, I can't excel in this game unless I get a new gun. It wasn't like that. It was just, I tried it.
And you liked it.
It felt really good in the hand. It was very pointable, natural point of aim. The gun came up and the sights were lined up every time. But what really two things sold me on this gun. All steel.
All steel is good for Ipsic.
The Edge has a plastic grip.
Yeah.
And I think so does the Executive and so does the Ipsic. This gun's been worked on. It's not stock. It's been tuned. And it had a gas pedal on it, or has a gas pedal on it.
You going to leave that on?
Absolutely, I'm going to leave that on.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one step closer to...
Explain to our non-Ipsic shooters, listeners, what a gas pedal is.
A gas pedal...
It makes the gun go faster.
If you're behind the gun and the gun is pointed downrange, then the gas pedal is a pad on the left-hand side of the gun that the thumb of your left hand rests on. So it aids in acquiring a consistent grip that's in the same location every time. Kind of helps you drive the gun out, steer the gun,
yep.
grip the gun.
Sure.
And there's a picture of it right there.
Yeah, they're holding it up to the microphone so everybody can see. Very good. The funny thing is he really is holding it up to the microphone.
Well, yeah, if you listen carefully, you can see it.
What are you on again? So, what was that mushroom that we had in that coffee?
Oh,
let me tell you about mushroom coffee. It's disgusting. Let's move on.
Yeah, who goes to a gun shoot to push natural organic mushroom coffee?
That was the strangest vendor I've ever seen at a gun shoot. Now, that being said, I saw lots of guys walking around with that coffee. So.
Well, it was the only coffee on site, and it was free. But if you wanted it, you had to listen to all the health benefits. I'm like, could you please just pour it? Because my blood pressure is rising just having to listen to you.
But it'll bring it right back down, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway. I didn't find that it, but anyway, we're not here to talk. Well, I gotta tell this story.
Matthew absolutely hates mushrooms. He will not eat mushrooms and anything. So as soon as she said it was made from mushrooms, I ordered 2 cups. And I brought one to Matthew.
And he waited until I took a sip before he told me.
Yeah, oh, by the way, Matthew, that coffee is made out of mushrooms. What? I said, yeah, all the pamphlets with the information on the coffee is there on the table. And yeah, he spit a little bit and then poured it out. It was awesome. So
yeah, it was a little bit of retribution there.
So anyway, I bought this gun. It was used, slightly used. It was actually the owner of the dealership's backup gun. He didn't use it much. It was expensive.
Yep.
And then I had to buy mags for it.
Right.
He gave me a really good deal on the mags, about $12 off per mag.
It's not bad.
And then I just picked up a whole new belt. All the mag pouches and holster, and I just went from CRSB to Ghost. I thought, hey, if I'm going completely to the other side of the
spectrum, might as well change everything.
Yeah,
over.
I was Glock and CRSB, and now I'm STI and Ghost. So, needless to say, I'm going to be selling some guns. I'm going to sell my 686. I'm going to sell my Glock.
Doc Wesson just burst out into tears.
Oh, he did too.
Doc, I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
For you. And I'll get another one someday.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I'll sell that one. I'll tell you what I'm going to sell for sure is my Glock 3.5.
Right. Well, there's no sense in using that anymore.
No. The belt, the mags, the holster, and the mag pouches are going to go. All the tuned extra parts that I have.
Sure.
And I'm also going to sell my Glock 22 that I just bought. And I will keep my Glock 17.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, your Glock 17. You definitely need to keep that.
And it's a home defense gun. It's got night sights.
And you can run production with it if you wanted to. If you were, you know, if you wanted to, you know, run with the real boys.
Yes, there you go.
As opposed to the ray gun.
If I make it to Arkansas for Mag 40 with,
I believe that's pronounced Arkansas.
Arkansas. Sorry. Arkansas. If I make it to Arkansas with Trucker and John Holloway, I'll take my Glock 17 with me for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah, and I might sell the AR that I'm currently building that I forgot to talk about on last week's show. I'm building an AR, by the way.
And you're going to
sell it as soon as it's done.
Now, what were you going to build for your AR?
It was supposed to be an M4 clone, but it would have a 16-inch barrel as opposed to a 14.5.
Only because you found one for a good price.
Exactly. Yeah. Officer Frank hooked me up. So.
Shout out to Officer Frank for helping out at the Nationals. He was all over the place, and he stopped by and relieved my boredom a few times, and it was greatly appreciated. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you two did the whole pilot conversation.
Didn't know
he was a pilot, and that was cool. So, a lot of shout-outs, actually.
Oh, yeah, I got a whole list of them somewhere, but we'll get to them at the end.
We had listeners, let's just say this, in case I forget to mention your name, we had listeners shoot this match wearing
our Slamfire
Radio t-shirts.
Yeah.
We had listeners come up and talk to us and introduce themselves to us.
The funniest one was when some random dude walked up to Officer Frank and said, "You're Officer Frank, aren't you?"
That's right. I recognize you by the sound of your voice.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was good. You know who you are.
Yeah, that's Craig.
Yeah.
I do remember Craig.
So
Craig shoots a 1911.
A real one.
Very much like our friend Trevor here.
It's not a 1911. It says 2011. Okay, listen. Like I said, a 1911 is a single stack.
Right, it's 100 better is what you're saying. You got 100.
Okay, it was inspired by. It has some of the same lines as a 1911, but you ask any 1911 purist out there if an STI Edge or Executive or IPSC or this 5.0 is a 1911, they will laugh at you.
Right.
If it's a double stack, it's not a 1911. Not a true 1911.
All right, well, let's move on to defending your purchase.
I didn't buy a 1911.
Let's talk about the match a little bit.
All right, you start off with pre-match and Owen and David, because we talked with them before the match, right?
Right, we talked with them before, all right.
So you share those stories and experiences about you and Owen and David in the pre-match, and then I'll talk about the main match.
Sure. We show up on Tuesday, I guess, Owen, David, and I, and it turns out we're squatted with Mark Giroux.
Oh, cool.
And his son, Brad.
Right. Just like SummerSlam.
Just like SummerSlam. It was deja vu all over again.
They were wearing different shirts this time.
They were. They were wearing Slamfire shirts this time. And that was very cool. Owen and I both had our Slamfire shirts on. So it was almost like we had the Slamfire team there.
Nice.
Minus, one key figure who shoots a 1911. This is not going to get old,
this
folks.
This needs to stop.
Not for a while.
It's not 1911.
Also in our squad, we had Tim. We also had Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that makes 7 because Owen, David, and I make 3, and I just listed 4 other names. So that's 7. So we had 7 in our squad.
So, and even in the pre-match, the squads were that small.
We had 7. Yes. Yep. Some of the squads were 4. And they ripped through quickly. Chris Kingston was in a squad of 4, if I remember correctly. We had a fantastic, dedicated RO, Stavros. If you're listening, man, thank you so much. There's a huge shout out there to Stavros. This is a guy, he's from Ontario. He's Greek, as you may be able to tell from his name, Stavros. He came to shoot the regular match, and he was there during the pre-match, and he donated his time to ROS both days, ran every single one of us, save for maybe 2 or 3 stages when he had to go get his oil changed or something like that. Fantastic guy. Had a really good time with him. Very good sense of humor. So, Stavros, thank you very much. So, we started off. Where did we start? What was the first stage we started at? Oh, we started on the bus. The bus stage. So.
Oh, really? Because that was the one that Owen was most concerned about.
Owen was very concerned about this one. It wasn't bad. This is actually one of the stages that we pre-broke down.
Yes.
So.
Start position was completely bastardized.
It was completely not what we thought it was going to be. We sat in the driver's seat facing forward of this bus with our gun unloaded. And then all of the targets were behind us. You had to stand up. You had to whack your elbow on the bar. Because that's what almost all of us did, turning around so quick.
Question.
Yeah.
Did you actually sit in the seat facing forward?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, by the time we got to it, you know how you were positioned?
Your legs were right around the corner, and all you had was your hands on the steering
wheel. You had a half a butt cheek on the seat.
Because it didn't say back against the seat. It didn't say facing forward. It just said sitting in the driver's seat with your hands at the 10 and 2.
At one time, it said with your feet on the pedals. When I was photographed for that start position, my feet were on the brake and clutch.
Right. I don't remember it saying feet on pedals.
It may have at one time, and they changed it. Some people's feet couldn't reach the pedals.
That's right. So they took that part out, and then all of a sudden...
Some hefty individuals couldn't fit behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah, so...
Sort of thing. That's the kind of sport it is.
Anyway, we shot it traditionally. Everybody faced forward with their hands on, and then grabbed our guns and took off. And you had to shoot out the windows. And, of course, if you know how the bus was located, you're shooting out the 90s, like out the sides. You had to be very careful to make sure that you stayed back of the window and shot forward and not broke 90 and get disqualified. But none of us did. We kicked down the door out the back of the bus and hosed the rest of them. And
We talked about on the last show that this was inspired by Triple Tap.
Yes.
Somebody Facebooked us and said, Triple Tap was an awesome movie. Thanks.
We're sorry you had to watch it.
Yeah.
But so we started off there, and then... Through some miscommunication, we were told that we needed to shoot the match in numerical order and not in the order which they were laid out in the range. So we trudged halfway across the range and started shooting the next stage, when in fact we should have just walked 20 feet to shoot the next one right beside us. But anyway, that was a bit of a mess up, but we worked through it. We had a good time overall. I'm not going to go through all the stages.
Just highlights, lowlights.
Sure. Really, my goals, I can speak for myself. I had 3 goals coming into this match, and I was going to do some math before I came down here, but I didn't. My three goals were to not get disqualified, so goal number one, achieved. My second goal was to shoot as many alphas as I could. And looking back through my score sheet, I shot a lot of alphas. I didn't run as fast as I could have. I didn't shoot as fast as I could have, but I was aiming, I was watching my front sight, and I shot a lot of alphas.
Okay, can I jump in?
Yeah.
Coach Furlough?
Yeah.
When you pick a goal like shooting a lot of alphas, that's what we call in the coaching world and in the mental side of the things, an outcome process goal.
Right.
And when you focus on the outcome, you're not focusing on the fundamentals. If you focus on the fundamentals...
We've had this discussion before, right. But I did it wrong, and I'm okay with that because I'm not going to ever be an Olympic shooter, and I'm doing it my way. I had outcome goals of this, mm-hmm. and I achieved two of them.
You should have had process goals.
No, maybe I should have. Maybe my third goal would have been achieved then. My third goal was to shoot the match clean. So no mics, no penalty targets.
Absolutely. If you're focused on the fundamentals...
Yep.
A process goal, not an outcome goal, you would have reached your
goal. Now, that being said, my process was to watch my front sight.
Yes.
That was one of the way I was going to achieve my goal.
You got it.
But.
You got it. So you're 95% way there.
I was close enough, but I did hit one penalty target out of the entire match. So that was unfortunate, and I got three mics. One mic was because I completely forgot to shoot the target because I didn't see it. Yeah. I knew it was there, but when I actually got a reshoot on that stage, and the reshoot, I ran the stage in my head before my first crack at it, and I shot everything exactly how I was supposed to, but then one of the steels didn't fall, and so I got a reshoot. The second time through, I didn't run it through my head first. I just stood there and waited. And when he said go, I started shooting and missed a target.
Now, did you shoot it back to back or did you stand
yes,
down?
Yes, I did.
Back to back. See, now next time, would you stand down?
I might. It depends. It was a very short stage and it was not complicated. Right. It was just me brain farting.
But you brought your brain fart. Stand down, folks, means that when there's a reshoot called, you have the option. You can immediately reshoot it. Or you can go back and sit down and relax and let somebody take your place.
That's right.
Some people say stand back and some people say...
You're in the zone, reshoot it.
Right.
Now, it depends. For me, if it's a long stage and I get stopped any more than halfway or any more than a quarter of the way through it, I will just reshoot because I just don't have enough rounds left in my mags. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this was a 9-round stage, so... I had 51 rounds on my person. I just swapped out mags and I was good to go. But, just unfortunate. That was my first one. And that was well past the halfway point when mm-hmm. I first missed. And then after that, I got two more mics. One of them was an extremely long shot. It was a 20 meter shot in the transport trucks all the way down to the end there. There was a danger shot. There was a target that was half covered with a penalty target, and I had hit my first penalty target by then as well, so I was aiming really high to make sure I missed him, and I missed him all right. I missed the other guy too. I hit him once, but I didn't hit him the second time, so that was one mic. And the other one I think was on a mover, so that one I can't beat myself up too much about because movers are hard to shoot anyway for me. So,
Okay. Anything else before I ask a question?
You can ask a question. I do have other stuff, okay. But ask a question.
All right. Well, you go with your other stuff, but then I want to hear about your favorite stage and your least favorite stage.
Sure. Absolutely. Actually, we could actually jump into that. Just trying to think what else I wanted to talk about. One of the things was shooting moving targets, aside from the one mic.
No, there was a lot of moving targets.
There were. I drilled all of them but one. Every single, there was only one that I didn't shoot at while it was moving. Yeah, we had some maxi targets, which are new to me. It's a swinger, and most swingers, when you activate them, they start to swing like a pendulum and continue to swing until the momentum just slows down. These ones were designed to hide behind a no-shoot or a penalty target, pop out at you, and then they pop back in and disappear. They're exposed for a second and a half, maybe, out. Back in, maybe 2 seconds most.
Most
would be 2 seconds. So not ridiculous. Not long, and you have one crack
at
it.
They vary the speed by the size, the weight on the end of the pendulum.
That's right. So you can adjust them. And some of them were slow, some of them were fast, and some of them were varied.
Right.
Because
Nix Bay had two different speeds to make it even worse.
So you had two steel poppers, so you hit them, and when they fell forward, they would activate the maxis. These I hate that they call them maxis. It's really kind of awkward anyway. So they swing out and they pop back in. And if you hit the steel at the same time, they would actually come out at the same time, but one would disappear before the other. And Trevor absolutely drilled 2-alpha, 2-alpha into those things.
Yeah, the time on that. So it was, there was no door on that one, was there?
There was no door on that one, no.
So there was a popper that activated two maxis simultaneously. No.
Sorry. No, it was there a popper was a
flipper
for each.
There was a flipper that brought up a classic Ipsic, and then a popper for each. So popper on the left activated the maxi left. On the left.
Yep.
Popper on the right activated maxi on the right.
Now, for me, what I did, because I'm not a fast shooter, I shot the one on the left and chased the maxi, and then shot the one on the right and went back to the maxi. Trevor shot them both at the same time.
Yeah, I did my steel plate, my steel flipper first, and then I went left maxi, right maxi, and then the maxis were both exposed almost at the same time, and I got 2-alpha on each of them. And then I went to the target in the back, and was, I think, so amazed, even though it all happened so quickly, 6 seconds, 6.10 seconds?
Something like that, yeah.
It was 6.16 or 6.10. The fastest time I saw on that stage, believe it or not, was under 5 seconds.
Wow.
It's like 4.10 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, flipper, classic comes up, left popper, right popper, left maxi, right maxi, one going faster than the other. Cleaned all the alphas there. And the easiest 10-meter shot on a classic target is just sitting there doing nothing. Delta, Mike. So it could have been a beautiful stage.
Could have been. Well, it was a beautiful stage right up until the last one.
Hmm.
So I'd have to say one of my favorite stages was the one where you had the mini targets and the classic targets. You shot it all strong hand. The mini targets you shot once and the regular targets you shot twice.
I also enjoyed that.
That was a really mentally interesting game or stage because you're used to either shooting everything twice or shooting everything once. You very rarely, and this is the first time I've ever done this, where you had targets where you shot big ones two times and little ones one time. And so you had to actually think about big target or little target, you know, bang, bang, or just bang. And yeah, like Trevor said, all strong hand. That was my only penalty target. I strong-handed towards a mini and dropped it just a little bit and hit the penalty target that was just underneath it. But I saw it, which was good, and made a nice dark hole in that white, so I was able to clean up and pick up that the one that I missed. So at least I didn't get a mic. I just got the minus 10 instead of the minus 20. But yeah, that was a fun stage. Least favorite stage, Trevor? I don't know if I have one.
Oh,
I have to say they were all fun. There was one where you started at the end of a hallway, and as you backed up, you hit, let's call them broomsticks, for lack of a better term, that stretched across the entire hallway.
They're more like shovel handles.
Sure, shovel handles. And when you hit them, that's what activated swingers in the next room, so you had to be quick. There was one, a disappearing target, right at the very end of the hall, and I would have to say the activation happened 3 meters, 4 meters before you got to a position where you could actually shoot the target, and it was a disappearing, so it drops, faces you, and then turns away.
Did you know you don't have to even engage them?
You don't have to actually engage them, no. But you lose the opportunity to gain points.
I always thought you had to actually actively engage with minimum one shot while it was facing you.
That's what I was told as well by several people until I looked it up for myself.
I taught that to Owen and David in their RO course year. And all of a sudden, since then, it's been changed.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been changed. We were misinformed from the get-go. We should have looked up that rule ourselves.
I thought we did. I thought we had. I know I did.
Yeah, then maybe it changed the 2013 rules. But anyway, all you have to do is activate a disappearing target. You don't actually have to shoot at it. Hit that, ran out to the end of the hallway and drilled 2-alpha into that disappearing, which is really fun. I started to do a little bit better on disappearing and moving targets this competition, which was really fun. But least favorite stage, Trevor, I don't think I had one. The house was amazing. Even the smaller stages were fun. down at down stage one and two. They were very simple stages, but still they were fun. There was lots of movement. There was, you know, there was some stand and deliver. There was some movement. There was some where you had to run flat out. The maze was amazing. It was 24 targets that you engaged all with one shot. They were all just regular size IPSC targets, all probably no more than 5 meters away. And you just shot them all once. It was the Walking Dead stage. So it was simulating zombies, I guess, and headshot in each one of them. But it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of running on that one. And, you know, a lot of people had a lot of fun on that as well. So overall, I thought it was a fantastic match. Anybody who missed it should be kicking themselves because it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I know John Evers and his crew came down for it from Ontario. Saw a lot of old faces, or old faces. Saw a lot of people who I've seen before. A lot of old friends, a lot of old shooters that have been. Yeah.
Yeah, and we met a lot of cool new people, too. And
we met a lot of cool new people as well.
Packing and Pink.
Yeah, Packing and Pink was there. She was
she is
a little firecracker.
She's awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah, awesome, cool.
So why don't you go ahead, give my vocal cords a break here, and talk about the match proper there.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I'll focus on some, on stages I liked, didn't like, and my performance. But something that I could talk about that wasn't in place for you was all the other amenities and logistics that were involved in the regular match. By the time the regular match was ready to roll out, our vendors were there. The vendor's tent was put up. This tent was, how big was this tent? I mean,
it was big. Yeah, hold your arms out a little bit wider for the microphone, and that's how big it was. It was huge.
It was the kind of tent that you would see at a circus.
You could fly a remote control airplane in there. Well, I mean, that doesn't say much. They're pretty small these days. You could play a game of baseball in there almost. It was huge.
Yep, it was. It was huge. Like I said, it was a circus-sized tent.
Yes.
Right on the main rifle range. We had staff at the gate to greet spectators as they came in. We handed out maps to the range to show the safe paths for spectators to take. Earplugs and eye protection were provided. There were three different food vendors on site. Remington rolled into town with a customized truck that opened up that was a gun room. And there were all kinds of Remington and Bushmaster firearms on there for you to check out. AR-10, AR-15s, ACR, and you were actually able to shoot them. They set up a range.
Yeah,
and I shot a lot of 1911s. They had para too.
Yeah,
I shot the para black ops or tactical ops or garbage ops. But I didn't like it. I shot the R1 enhanced stainless. I didn't like it. I shot a para elite. That was the only 1911 I shot that day that actually hit where I was aiming. And the bullet went right behind the dot. It was nice. But I shot the AR-10.
The AR-10. Tell us about the AR-10.
I want one.
You want one, yeah.
But there's no need for one. Nothing that I can do with an AR-10 at a range that I can't do with an AR-15 at a range.
That's right, because still a range gun. It's still a restricted firearm.
That's right. The only appeal to an AR-10 for me would be hunting. And since it's restricted, I would either customize an M14 or get an XCR-M. Yeah. There's really not a whole lot of other really cool semi-auto 308 options, but it was wicked. So anyway, that was all up in effect. All of those extra amenities were going on the range. Range crew everywhere. Everybody and their dogs wearing that ugly yellow t-shirt.
Oh, bright. I'm surprised the listeners can't see it.
I'm sure they can hear the sound. They can hear the color of that shirt.
They can hear the color. It is loud.
There's a funny hiss coming through the microphone, and it's the color of your shirt.
Oh, man, it's brutal.
So anyway, it was really wicked. Now, my performance in the match, I could list all the reasons why I think I didn't perform well, but it doesn't matter. The fact is I performed very poorly, and I'm not happy with myself or the match. Or my happy with myself. I'm not happy with how I performed in the match. So I cheered myself up with a new gun. But I've never seen so many mics. I think out of 16 stages, I may have shot 3 without a mic.
Wow. That'll really hurt your scores.
It'll kill your scores.
Yeah.
That being said, not a penalty target.
Did you zero any?
I don't think I did.
No.
But I'm happy to say that I did not get any penalty targets that I can remember.
Right.
For sure. But
oh, I'll check.
No,
oh,
I'm so kidding. Will I. So will I. I'm absolutely dying for the results. So yeah. I was on Team New Brunswick. I was the quote unquote alternate for Team New Brunswick. So it was Harold and Matt McKinley, and who was last year's provincial champion, and Remy Thibault, who was provincial champion 2 years ago. Remy Thibault struggled, not throwing him under the bus, but he is a very busy individual. He's a business owner, and he just simply didn't have time to prepare for the match, and he struggled. He had some really good stages, but I would say overall he struggled. Matt McKinley took a little bit of time to get warmed up, but God love him when he did. Look out. I think he's going to be, of the four of us, I think it's going to go him, Harold, then me. And I think Harold and I are close because Harold lost a couple of stages. I lost a couple of stages. But it's which stages, right? If you screw up on the big ones, you're going
to
pay.
That's right. The big stages, you can't afford to screw up. The little stages, you can toss a couple of them away if you have to.
Yeah.
But if you do really well on a long course, you can really improve your score.
Absolutely. I mean, I won that revolver match that time by cleaning the biggest stage, right?
Yep.
And by cleaning, I mean, I shot all alphas on the 24 rounds, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't get it together. I couldn't make that second shot count. I was aiming once and shooting twice is the best way to describe it, and that'll kill you.
Yeah, well.
So
that's what I always do.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get away with it with the big old fat 40. But we talked about that stage where I did really good with those maxis. I enjoyed the boat. Now, the boat was
fun. Interesting.
I was classic gamer on the boat and on my own personal stage that I designed. And when I designed it, I never thought about this. And that was the stage down on the 22 bay, the one to the left of Mark's Rue stage.
Right. The one with...
You open the door.
Yeah.
And in front of you was...
A popper that activated a swinger and a disappearing, and then there's one up on the left.
Right. So I hit the popper.
Yep.
And then I went to the target 20 meters away on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the swinger, and I didn't even bother with the drop turn. I just took the time.
Right.
Would have been great, only I had a mic.
Ah.
So, like, I'm telling you, it just feels like every stage had a mic. The boat.
See, I'm surprised as a gamer, you wouldn't take the... half a second to possibly get two alpha. Doesn't it?
On a short stage like that, time matters.
Yeah.
It's all about time. So if you can save the time, take the time.
Interesting.
On the boat, you started with your hands on the edge of the boat. You didn't even get on the boat. You did everything from the dock. There was a pull cord. You're supposed to, at this start signal, pull this cord to simulate starting the engine. And what that did was that activated a maxi.
And this was the fastest maxi of the match, exposing itself for a grand total of a billionth of a second.
All right.
It was horrible.
There was no way to get from the pull cord to the gun.
No, you would have to have strong-handed it, and even then you just would have missed, and it was covered by a penalty target.
So
there were lots of holes in that penalty target, noticed, huh?
Yeah, so nobody said you had to engage that, pull that cord.
It doesn't say anywhere you got to pull the cord. You just have to engage the target.
Yeah.
If you wanted to not shoot at it, you would have had to pull the cord and then go, except that it wasn't actually a disappearing target because you could see it from another location. Which...
And boy, did I ever.
Yes.
So I didn't pull the cord. I stood up. I engaged two targets off of the port side of the boat. I'm making that up. Could have been...
It is the port side.
Perfect.
The left side's the port side. All right. The right side is the starboard.
I engaged the two targets to the port, ran up to the activator... Hit the activator, which got the swinger going.
Right.
Off the dock. And then I pulled two snake eyes. Well, or a set of snake eyes, two shots in the same hole on that maxi.
Right. So what happened was when the way the maxi was angled, once you ran down the dock and you looked left, you could see
a good
portion of the shoot target behind the no-shoot target. So... Mm-hmm. That's what I did as well.
Didn't bother with the rope or nothing?
I did pull the rope.
Oh, you did pull the rope, but you still went up and
just
got it.
Just to, the spirit of the game and whatnot.
Yeah.
For me, it was, my hand was right there, so I just grabbed it as I stood up and pulled it. Pulled my gun, did the exact same thing. Shot the two guys on the port side, ran down, stomped on the activator to start the swinger. I went for the guy behind the maxi first, got the guy at the bow, and then went and took the swinger.
Yeah, I took the maxi, I took the guy at the bow, and then I had a mic
on the swinger.
On the swinger. I think if I would have pulled that pull cord, I would have destroyed the stage. I was so amped up and so annoyed with all the misses. And there was a point, look, I was ready to toss my mags and throw in the towel. I was so upset. Oh, and I you know, whether it was archery or whether it was IPSC, Trevor's quiet. Trevor's not having fun.
That's right.
Trevor's jovial and laughing. That means Trevor's shooting well. If Trevor's quiet and not making jokes and picking on somebody... Oh,
I'm glad I shot the pre-match with you. Well, because
I was having a hard time to maintain composure and try and stay positive and try and shift gear, reset my brain for the next stage and really refocus and stuff and let them go. I was having a hard time.
And this is why some people have come to me and say, "Why aren't you more competitive? Why don't you try harder? You clearly have some skills here. Try harder and be better."
Take it more serious.
This is that one reason why I don't, because I know that if I let myself slide into this competitive side, I will become this monster that needs to succeed in order to have fun. And so I approach this nationals. I've shot a grand total of 5 matches this year now. Yeah. This was the 5th one. The first 2 were black badge.
Yeah.
And then one was a level 1 in Woodstock and one was at level 2 in Woodstock. Yeah. So this is like, those were all my practices, quote unquote practices for nationals. And really I wasn't practicing for nationals. So I was not prepared to come here and be competitive at all. But you know what? I had a blast.
That's good.
I had a great time. I did not mean to shoot as well as I did.
That's good.
And that's, you know, that's kind of how I perform at my best, is when I'm not intending to perform well. And if you ask me to perform well, I will fall flat on my face.
Oh, see, sometimes that's when I step up. If somebody runs their mouth and challenges me, then I'll step up and clean something, right? But
no, see, I'm the guy that shoots the clay, you know, out at 100 yards with a 22 with one shot, and you go, haha, do it again. Nope.
I'm out.
I did it.
With me, I guess the best way I can describe it is I'm still having fun. I'm still happy. But the better I do, the happier I am.
Right.
And when I'm shooting well, I'm happy. If I'm not shooting well, I'm not as happy as I could be. Right. So
tell me about your favorite stage and your least favorite stage.
Okay, this is tough, I got to tell you.
They were all good stages, weren't they?
Yeah. Again, I'll judge a stage, I'll call the stage good or bad solely on my performance on that stage.
Right.
Not how fun it was or how creative it was or how cool the props were.
Well, then let's talk about the tank stage.
Okay, the tank stage
was cool.
I suffered on it. I almost want to say it's my least favorite stage, which is not fair because it was an amazing stage. Prop design. Yep. And, you know, there was a couple of different counts. You could go 10, 8.
Oh, there were all kinds of counts.
You
could
go 10, 8, 6 or 10, 8, 8 or 10, 8, 6, 4. Like, it was all kinds of ways to break it down. I got to tell you, though, I watched some guys who actually know what they're doing in this game shoot that stage. There's a dude from Ontario, and I wish I knew his name, production shooter. You've heard it said on many other gun podcasts and read it in articles, smooth is fast.
This guy was smooth, huh?
Oh, he flowed like water.
Wow.
It was just rhythm and fluid. There was no jerky movements. It was poetry in motion. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And the other stage I saw that was amazing was JP from Quebec. He's like 16th in the world. I don't even know his name. I don't actually keep up with any of the top shooters or follow them or anything. I know who Jerry Mikulik and Matt Burkett is.
Right.
And Todd Jarrett.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy is one of the best. He's like 16th in the world. Name is JP. He's a young guy. He's in incredible condition. And he shot the house. And when he was done shooting the house, people actually applauded.
Wow.
It was so impressive to watch him move throughout that structure. It was amazing. So the tank stage for me, I ran past the target, had to back up.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have broke 90.
Right.
And I think I missed a mag change, ran the gun dry. Then I did an extra mag change when I didn't have to.
That's always fun.
I really enjoyed the airplane.
And the airplane was cool. Yeah, I liked it.
I got a decent time on the airplane and only one Charlie on the whole plane.
That's not bad.
Now, remember Kingston said he did it in 10? Malarkey. It took me 16 to do the airplane.
Yeah.
Well,
he may have done it in 10, but he missed all the targets.
Possibly. it was there were some design challenges on how it was laid on the stage and where and where Nani was.
But they
it changed
they,
where Nani was based on where the stage was and not where the berms were. And that's I didn't agree with that, but it wasn't whatever, right?
That's right. It is what it was, and it worked out in the end.
Absolutely worked out in the end, but know, guys, well enough, guys wouldn't let it go, right? And they were being told by the CRO, listen, this is how it's going to be. Here's where your Nani is.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
It's a modified 90.
That's what it was.
It says in the rule book that there can be a modified 90.
Yeah. And anyway, they had to get the RM down there, the range master down there, because he wanted the range master on record as telling him personally where 90 was. It was that kind of ridiculousness.
Yep.
Harold was losing his mind. Can we shoot already? Can we shoot already? It's not. Just shoot.
Yeah, we had that same issue.
Don't point your gun at somebody. Shoot. Yeah. You're fine.
We had the same issue on the boat. The boat does have a modified 90. It's into the corner of two berms. And we were shooting the pre-match, and we were doing what Trevor explained and I explained earlier. We're shooting this maxi from a different location. And everybody was losing their mind. People who were coming to observe before the actual match, saying we were all breaking 90.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Big honking fluorescent orange 2x4s in a straight 180 degree line.
Yeah,
to indicate where the 180 is.
It took minutes to get it through some of these people's heads where 90 was, and they finally, you know.
It's, you know what it is, Matthew? They're confined, right, to their ranges, and they don't have the flexibility and the freedom that we have at our range to move certain things and change certain things. And that was one of the safest angles of fire on the whole range.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, no, they were
going right into the corner of two berms.
That's right. How could it be any safer?
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so that was challenging. My favorite stage?
Gonna have to think quicker.
Well, it was either the jail.
The jail was fun.
Or the one where I smoked those two maxis. Got four alphas, right? And
You're talking about how, the stages that you did well at, the stages you like.
That's what I, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I define whether I like a stage is how I performed on it.
Yeah, that's interesting. See, what we should do then is ask you what you think of it, what your favorite stage is before you shoot it, and then we'd get a true answer.
Okay, how about the stage that I was most looking forward to shooting?
All right.
The maze.
The maze was one. That was a zombie one. With
targets.
All over the place.
You know, you had how many targets?
24.
24 targets.
One in each.
Each needed to be shot once.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to shooting the tank and the tank stage because it had a minefield with a skeleton in it.
Yeah, that one was just cool for props.
APCs and ammo cans and a
one of those mortar. APCs didn't quite make it, huh? All kinds of bullet holes.
I'm so upset about that. I didn't realize we were putting it in such a way that it was going to get destroyed.
But it got shot.
But we'll just put a new side on it, right?
It's one piece of plywood, so I'm pretty sure it'd be fine.
So
let's jump quickly into equipment then. How did your equipment run?
Oh, flawless.
Everything went good?
Flawless.
Fantastic.
Absolutely flawless.
Yeah. I did
on the airplane stage. I was so nervous. I forgot to top up my gun. And I started with 10 rounds instead of 11.
Oh.
And when I shot my 10, the gun went to slide lock. I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. You know, whatever. The lock is so well broken in. They just put a mag in, the slide goes home, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have to report that you were actually a little bit right in how dry I run my gun.
What? Hello.
I actually had
a popcorn fart's more lubricated.
It was lubricated as I normally run.
Wiping the grease off your forehead and putting it onto the rails of the gun is not lubricating it.
Anyway, I actually had the gun fail to reset the trigger 3 times. I dumped a bunch of oil in it, and it helped, but it still happened one more time. So actually, I'm not sure if it was the lube. Or if I'm simply shooting my gun out, maybe my gun needs some replacement parts.
Maybe. There's no adjustment in there. It's not like my Glock where I can adjust that and make that happen. You can't. It is or it isn't.
That's right. So that's something I need to look into and either get new parts for. I'll just continue to run it for the rest of the season.
You waited all this time to tell me this.
Yeah. Well, of course. I needed a true reaction on the podcast.
You're evil.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
I was happy that my back didn't give out.
Your back worked very well.
And today, only two pills all day, right? Like, it just, you know, everything worked just in time for the match.
Yeah, very good. Well, if there's nothing else we need to go through for let's go through some shout-outs. What do you got for shout-outs that we need to address?
I don't like anybody.
You don't like anybody, so no shout-outs for you?
Well, you know, Craig.
Yep.
Luke Giroux.
Luke Giroux also wore our shirt, along with Brad and Mark Giroux.
Yep.
All the Giroux's wearing our shirt.
Giroux's are the best kind of people.
Are they all related, Mark and Brad and Luke, or no?
Probably. I don't know. What am I, a family tree over here?
You might be.
Genealogists?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
We had a lot of listener support, so it was awesome.
Yep. Very good. Okay, well, we do have one email. This email came from Bolivar. And did you want to read it? It's to me, but did you want to read it?
No, I remembered another one, Dave Coping.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about that? Or?
Well, Dave has been teasing me about this Excalibur gun. Well, not teasing me, but he's like, dude, when you try this thing, when you feel this thing, trust me, you will be impressed with this gun. And Dave's a friend of mine on Facebook, and we follow each other's kind of IPSC businesses there on Facebook. So these guns are called Excaliburs. They're polymer lower and a skeletonized slide. Nice big barrel. It's not a cam barrel either. It's a turning barrel or rotating or whatever. Production gun. It's polymer, but it's hammer fired. Very interesting little design. I took it to the safety. He was gracious enough. He was shooting his stuff. I'm like, are you like super busy right now? Can you come show me this thing? He's like, sure. He dropped everything and told his wife he'd be back. And we went to the safety area and played with this gun. Very interesting. You know, I've often said if I went production, I'd go MMP Pro.
Yeah, maybe you'd go this thing instead.
Mm.
Like you're ever going production now with the STI.
Well, every once in a while, you got to, you know.
You got your 17 to play with. But let me tell you, this would be a fun gun to play with in production. Mm. I haven't tried the trigger pull on it, but just based on your description of it, I would like to try it. Because I know that traditionally, I don't like double action, single actions. But you're saying this double action is actually really nice.
It was a clean, clean double action.
And I love a clean double action.
So, yeah.
I'd like to try it.
I have no problem out of the holster popping an alpha with that double action trigger.
Yeah.
In decent time. Oh, yeah. Anything inside of 20 meters would be just a gone.
I would love to try it. Yeah. That would, you know, for somebody who's not a gamer and who doesn't shoot this to win, that's something that piques my interest because being able to clean up on double shots with a single action after your first one all the way through the rest of the stage on single action there's an appeal to that to me. And you know what? I think it would help.
Like, this gun answers a lot of the problems that we've, you know, we've said we like our striker-fired guns for that consistent trigger pull and, you know, production as a duty gun and whatever. And, you know, the Tanfoglios and the CZs are really pricey. And the first double-action pull is kind of painful.
Well, that's the thing. I started on a CZ. And then, of course, my only other double-action, single-action experience is on either a Beretta 92 or a Norinco SIG copy. And all three of those have horrible double action trigger pulls. And that's what has gotten me to go, nope, going to striker fire. But I think maybe if I had started off on something that does have an actual clean, proper double action trigger pull, like you described this one to be, I may have stuck with double action, single action.
And it's polymer.
And it's polymer. Yeah, which is great because I love my plastic guns.
So.
And it looks funky too.
Yeah. So yeah. Big show today for letting me molest your gun and maul it and stuff.
Very good. Cool. Well, we do have one email this week. It does come to us from the Conquistador, Mr. Brian Bolivar.
Señor.
Señor.
Señor Conquistador.
Now, listeners, do you pronounce those stickers you put on your car a decal or a decal?
It's a decal.
See, when you, now, what do you call it in French?
In collant.
No, you called it a decal in French, which I was like, when you're speaking French, you actually say it right. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this email. Just something that popped into my head there.
It's like carbine and carbine.
Right. One is correct and one is American.
Right. Like pine tree.
Pine tree?
Okay.
Pine. Carbine. You don't... I can't think of anything that is spelled I-N-E and is E.
Lever action and lever action. Do you know how to spell lever action? L-E-A-V-E-R. That's lever action. Right. Like leave on a tree, right? Yeah. Lever action is L-E-V-E. That's why bine is pronounced bine and not pine.
You mean bean?
Bean, yes.
Yeah, bean is E-A-N.
So,
anyway.
Decal, not decal.
It's all where you put the, if you put the emphasis on the first syllable or the second syllable.
That's what the rules of the English language. Carry on. What was that about? Because
I don't know. We went we all grammar is where we went there. Anyway, so Brian Bolivar, he writes, Matt, glad to hear you got great warranty service from Vortex. This is consistent with what I have heard from many, 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 many people. Yes,
that's he wrote many
that time, or that many times. I'm thinking it could be because the Vortex warranty department has had lots of experience dealing with failed sparks. Just saying. Brian, you're probably right. The Vortex spark is not an EOTech or an Aimpoint. It is a budget red dot optic. Could I call it
an entry level?
An entry level. It is definitely an entry level. That being said, we have had a 50% success rate because Owens is still working 100%.
And the Strike Fire apparently sucks batteries.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that the spark does not. I did not hardly ever turn that optic off. I would turn it on, and 6 hours later, it would turn itself off, and I just kept doing that. And I did the math. According to the booklet, I could have done that for a year every single day, and battery wouldn't have run out.
So, well, maybe your battery was lasting so long because it was only on half the time.
That's a good point. So anyway, I did talk about this last show. The spark arrived way faster than I ever anticipated, but I'll run it on the AR and make sure I keep you guys updated on to how it's working. Hopefully this one works just A-okay, and yeah, we'll be good to go after that. So
we also worked on ARs. Squirrel!
We did do some AR work because you got some parts in the mail.
Yeah, what did you do this week in guns?
You worked on your ARs.
Yeah, I continue to upgrade parts on some ARs and take the extra parts and use them to build another AR. That's how the third AR build started. I decided to go back to the A2 stock on my STI.
And so you had a spare buffer tube and collapsible stock. What do you do with that? Well, you build the rest of the gun to go along with it. Exactly. What else would you do?
Exactly. And I wanted to order the competition length free float handguard made by STI for my STI, along with the low profile gas block. So those are ordered, but it would be a while before they come in. So I thought, well, I'll get all the other stuff. So I got the upper parts kit, the lower parts kit. SFRC right now has NEA fully auto bolt carrier groups on sale for $144. I ordered one and got it within 5 days.
Very nice.
Yes. Very nice.
Fast and inexpensive.
Yeah. So I needed a charging handle. So I ordered the BCM charging handle with the medium length latch.
It's cool. I wouldn't mind one.
I don't know if it's Altor or BCM. Both company names are written on there. I got that from Questar. Also here within 5 days. Couldn't believe how quickly these things were coming in.
It's funny. We were pulling past his mailbox. Should I stop? Are there mail parts or gun parts in the mailbox? And I looked over it with my X-ray vision, of course, and said, yep. He said, you wouldn't tow with me, would you? No. We pull over there, full, just full of gun parts. He will never doubt me again.
That's right. So this week we changed the trigger in my NEA from the mil-spec trigger.
That was fun, taking the safety out and all that to get the other one out.
Not really, but no. Anyway. Sadly, we did have to take the grip off to relieve the spring tension on the safety, take the safety off to get the mil-spec trigger out. And then we dropped in a Geissele SSA.
Something.
Just an SSA.
It's an SSA, sure.
It's basically
single action, or I don't know what it stands
for. Super semi-auto.
No, definitely semi-auto.
Super semi-auto.
Yeah, definitely.
Basically mil-spec design.
No, not even close. It's completely different. No. The sear's in a completely different spot.
Okay, all right. So I guess what I meant to say was mil-spec weight.
Oh, okay.
Smoother.
Sure. Definitely smoother.
Crisper.
Much better trigger. Not terribly light.
Shorter reset. Not terribly light, but not designed to be terribly light. But designed to feel better and have a better reset.
Yep. A good trigger for sure. Yeah.
My JP Industries, that's in my STI, better trigger, but a lot more money. Comes with the gun. Adjustable. This one's not adjustable, but this is the perfect step up from your mil-spec trigger if you don't want to go crazy mental.
Right.
And still get an excellent, excellent trigger. So, and that came from Mr. Reese out in Calgary, my partner in Gopher Annihilation.
Is he the guy that sent me the trigger
In the Geissele package,
in the Geissele
which I
package,
want. Yeah,
which,
he sent you a mil-spec trigger in a Geissele package.
And he sent you your Geissele trigger in the mil-spec package.
Yeah.
Probably not.
He's an oof, though, right?
What are you going to do from this guy? Jeez.
I don't know. Anyway, I'll be back to see him in the fall. I'm racking up points like crazy.
Oh, very good.
Not in the fall, next spring. I think sure. I might go a little later, actually.
Get some more gophers?
Yeah, more gophers, less snow. Jeff and I were falling on our faces in the snow and stuff.
Well, that would have been funny, too.
It kind of was, yeah. So, what else did we do?
I don't know. I think
AR stuff?
Yeah, I think we're done talking about AR stuff. Yeah. I think it's time to run through some of the things. Oh, we can't do an iTunes review because I'm on my iPod and I didn't pull it up in time. So
yeah,
we'll do that next week. We are falling behind on that, yes. But if you do leave us an iTunes review that is A, funny, B, makes fun of Trevor, or C, simply mentions Trevor.
Or D, makes fun of the 1911s.
We will definitely read it. And give you credit for it. So, yeah, please leave us a review. Give us a rating. We do like those 5 stars. Please go over to our Facebook page and like us. We are still behind the local public library
in likes.
It's
wrong for a gun podcast to have less likes than any library anywhere.
Unless it's a gun library, I guess. The library of John Moses Browning, perhaps. I don't know.
Who?
The guy that invented the Glock.
Oh, no, that's Gaston. Gaston Browning.
Gaston Browning. Oh, wouldn't that be a...
Oh, we're going to get lynched.
Oh, we're going to get something. Please remember to listen to the other shows on the Canadian Reload Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network.
Which we are now members of. And again, faux pas, we have not... You know, we are going to tell you all the different shows that are on that network.
Eventually.
Just, you have to forgive us, guys. With the Nationals, sometimes we're so tired, our eyes look like 2 holes in a snowbank. And, yeah, bear with us. We'll get back to actual poor quality shows instead of pathetic quality shows soon.
We'll do our best to ramp it up to poor.
Yeah, we want to get back to poor for you guys, because, frankly, it's the least that you deserve.
That's...
I don't even know if that's funny.
It's something, man. It's that I'm that tired that it's definitely something.
So, yay, IPSC.
Aside from the usual end of show stuff, please, if you're not a member of the CSSA or the NFA, go join up. You owe it to your next generation.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
And you are?
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.